Okay. So before we get to the main parts of the shir, which is focusing on the Har Le'avor for Hesyon and for Shas HaShmad, I'd like to just be mashlim that which we didn't finish last time. So yesterday's shir, discussing the sugya of Abizrayu, going through all the mefarshim who hold of Abizrayu and the different varieties of Abizrayu. So then we were going through the mefarshim who seem to omit the din of Abizrayu and basically reject the extension of Har Le'avor to the cases of Abizrayu. It's pointed out that the Rambam is one of these, right? The Rambam, again, never mentions the din of Abizrayu, number one. Number two, he seems to formulate, the din in Psachim Chafeyev, in Misrapid, the Atzei Ashira, is not, basically, as being a case where you're actually violating the actual Avodah Zarah. Again, it doesn't seem to extend it to any form of Abizrayu, be it in Rashi's Maras Ayin or Tosfos's Siyag. And then, in terms of how the Rambam formulates and brings down the Ara Gemara and Ayin Hey, in terms of the Hela Liba Tina, right? The Rav is Medayik that the Rambam doesn't just set out and say, oh, it's a classical case of Yahari Bahabur, you have to be Yahari before doing any of those things. But rather, the Rambam formulates it all in terms of Basin, right? This idea of Morin Lom, Lo Yorum, it's all about Basin not being able to paskin in this matter. Right, so again, the way the Rav was saying is that this is all Rambam Lashitasi, he doesn't think is a din of Abizrayu of Har Le'avor. It's rather that Beis Din in this context can't allow for this heterim of Amida Lefana of Ruma or Misaper Me'achore Hagen. So when we started discussing, so if you accept the Rav's Zirk, that it's all a din in Beis Din, Beis Din not being able to be Mora, not being able to issue such a psak, so then what exactly is this idea of Beis Din's role in these cases? So we pointed out that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has one approach where he basically says there's like a form of halacha that ain't more in king. Right? Just like how by a Kanon Pogumbo, the idea where the Maisa is allowed, it's just the Beis Din can't approve or can't issue a psak regarding the Maisa. Just like the Kanon Pogumbo, Beis Din can't allow a person to perform vigilante justice. Although from the perspective of Pinchas, it was mutter, it was fine, it just Beis Din can't get involved. So to hear, according to this read, right, it's mutter for a person to go ahead and facilitate this Amida Lefan of Aruma or Bimisaper, Mechore Geder, it's just Beis Din can't be Morikin, they can't issue that psak, that'd be inappropriate for Beis Din to issue such a kula. So that's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's approach to the Rambam. The Rav's approach, again, in the same Igros HaGrid, right, in Yisodei HaTorah Hey Test on the spot here, offers an alternative. And he thinks that what the Rambam is driving at, that basically what's going on here, that Morin Lo is basically the Chachamim paskening. According to Klal, Yish Koach, Biyak Chachamim, Lakor Dover, Minatora, Beshev, Valtaisa. And basically, the idea is it's not a formal din to be heard like Yavor, based on Israel. It's rather that the Chachamim are able to make a takana, and they're able to come along and basically say that we make a takana, Lakor Dover, Minatora, Beshev, Valtaisa, basically for a person to not be involved in these sins. Basically, this is the way the Rav explains the Lashon again of Amorinkain. It's all about Bezin's role in the process. It's basically they're issuing this takana, and the Rav thereby explains how the Rambam, again according to the Rav, the Rambam rejects the din of Abizrayu, right? And the Rambam and the Rav points out that even if theoretically the Rambam held of Abizrayu, the Rambam we know limits the lav of losikur v'legalers erva to Chibuk Vinishuk itself. It doesn't extend it past that to these cases of, Amida Lefan of Aruma or being Mesaper, Be'achor Gedder. So basically, the Rav from both those angles was wondering, how did the Rambam issue this psak of seemingly of Yehari Vayavor in this case, if, he doesn't hold it up Israel, number one, and even if he held it up Israel, he doesn't think that these cases would fall under, the realm of Israel, because he doesn't think that Lo Sikhi for the Galas Erva extends to these cases. So Rav says, oh, based on this diuk, it's nothing to do with Yahari Vayavor, nothing to do with Abizrayu. It's all din of Yish Koch, Be'achachamim, Lakor, Dafim, and Torah, B'sheva Taisos. So that's the Rav's approach to this realm. Just one problem with the Rav's approach is that if, in fact, this psak of Ein Morin Lo, the Rambam, has nothing to do with Yahari Vayavor, it's really just a din of Yish Koch, Be'achachamim, Lakor, Dafim, and Torah, B'sheva Taisos, the placement of the Rambam, I think my following point is that the placement of the Rambam is very strange, right? This is Hey Tess in the context of Yahari Vayavor. It's strange that the Rambam would be placing this halacha in the context of Yahari Le'avor. If it's really a din in Yish Koach B'Yacham Lakudar Minatov B'Shev Al Taisa, and those halachos he discusses in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Chav Dalet. So if the Rav is really correct, that that's really what's going on here, you would think that he, you know, put it there. That's just Ha'ara. Fine. So now moving on, right, that was the Rambam. So the other, you know, group of, let's say, poskim, who don't mention this Din of Abizrayim, are the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch never mention the Din of Abizrayim. And the Rav infers from the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur that they, again, like the Rambam, reject this notion of Abizrayim. They do not hold that Yehard Layavar for the Averos Chamuros extends to the cases of Abizrayim. The question the Rav then has to contend with is, so if, again, they don't hold of Abizrayim, then how are they going to explain, right, this Gemara, Halali Batina, right, the Psak of Yehari Layavor in those cases? Again, you can't offer, you know, the explanation that he offered for the Rambam of Yeshkoch Vechom Lakor Darvin Otobi Sheval Taisa, because if that was really the basis of the Rambam, of the Gemara, so then that Klal, Yeshkoch Vechom Lakor Darvin Otobi Sheval Taisa, once they make the Takana, that applies to Doros. So if that was really the basis of the Gemara, according to the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, so then why wouldn't they paskin that Lodoros, right, in their Halachos Svar? So the Rav is basically forced into saying that, oh, there's an alternative way to explain this Gemara in a way which will account for the lack of the lack of that Psak carrying over Lamaisa Lodoros, and that would explain the omission by the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. He explains that there's an alternative mechanism called Yishkoach V'yacham Lakor Davar Min HaTorah L'Migdar Milsa. That the Chacham have the ability to make a takana, even if it is against, you know, the Torah, in order to create a siyag to be Magdar Milsa. Never it could be, right? What's the Migdar Milsa in this context? Is to protect these values of Pekah Mishpacha and Shelo Yehu, you know, Benos Yisrael, Fruits and Barayas. But because, suggests the Rav, the basis of the Gemara in Ayin Hey is this factor of Yish Koach Yacham Lakodar Ben Torah Lamigdar Milsa, that we also know from the Gemara in Yevamos, that klal, whenever, right, the Chachamim, you know, institute a din based on that klal, that's only l'sha'ah. It's only for that time being. It doesn't apply l'dor. So that would explain, says the Rav, how Tur and Shulchan Aruch would explain the Gemara, and would also explain why that psak of Halali Batina is not brought down L'maisa, because that Gemara is basically limited to the time of that Takana, it doesn't apply L'doros.
So he's still sort of worth just assuming that they kind of voluntarily made it only for their door, because at the end of the day it wasn't the Kumbaseh, so they didn't have to use
exactly
the only Migdar Milsa.
100%. But again, I guess he's going to point out just the Lashonos of Pegah Mishpacha and Shulayu, you know, Pnosis of Pritzis and Barayos, I guess perhaps according to the Rav have the implication that they were just, that they're part of the Gedra, the Takana was also the Migdar Milsa. And maybe that's the way he's going to interpret it. But you're 100% right.
Migdar Milsa doesn't make it worse.
Exactly. They could have, you know, you're just saying, they could have, you know, taken, you know, the other tool in their basket, which
right.
is, you know, B'Sheva Taisa, you know, which could have applied the Doros, 100%.
Right. Sometimes it's strange that the Rav feels the need to, like, you know, come onto this concept of Migdar Milsa, whatever. He could have just said, they chose, right, they have the koach. That doesn't mean they always have to use it.
Yeah,
they
I hear. That's a good point. Okay. So basically, Arkan is the, you know, Harashlama of the Abizrayu, you know, Sugya. So now we're moving on, again, just to, up until now, we've all discussed the Harla Yavor for the Gimel Veras Chaburos. Again, as long, the nature of the Harla Yavor, you know, the specific Mekoros for each one, you know, is what's the default and what's not the default, the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, the Abizrayu, which is the potential extension of, you know, the Harla Yavor for the Veras Chaburos. So now, you know, transition to the other two forms of Yehari Vayavur, again, outside of the context of the Veiros Chamuros, and that is, number one, Farhesya, and number two, Shas Hashmat. Shas Hashmat. So we're going to discuss them, again, they'd be more, you know, quicker discussions than the, you know, the Gimel Veiros Chamuros, but we're going to try to discuss each one, and really what's going on in all of these cases. So starting with Farhesya, so we know, and we'll see this in the Gemara inside in just a moment, that, right, outside of the Veiros Chamuros, we know that the Gemara extends the Psak of Yehari Vayavor even by Shar Mitzvos, when the violation of those Shar Veiros, Shar Mitzvos, will be B'Farhesya. And we're going to say that it seems to be clear from the Gemara, and really all Mefarshim, doesn't seem like anyone argues with this, I was looking very hard, doesn't seem like everyone argues, it seems like everyone agrees that the Mechayiv of this form of Yehari Vayavor for Farhesya is Chil Hashem. This idea of Nikdashti, again, it's explicit in the Gemara, and no one seems to argue with this, that if you're to hold of Rehar Le'avur for Farhasia, the Mechayev is Chilasha. We said, right, we saw this, you know, the Machoke is by Veras Chamuros, whether it's Mitin Chilashem, or Chamursa Isur, Avas Hashem, etc. And we're going to see that by Shmad, there is going to be discussion what exactly is the nature of Mechayev, but the one type of Yavar where it's explicit in the Gemara and no Rishonim, you know, mess around with the Gemara, is Vahars Farhesya. It's clearly a din in Vinikdashti. So let's see where the Gemara explicates this idea. So we'll see it's going to be in two places. So the first context is actually within the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. And that's where the Gemara at first explicitly applies this factor of Lo Sekalu, this factor of Chol Hashem, to the realm of Farhesya. Go for Asher. Just the first Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. So within Rabbi Shmuel, right, this is the first time the Gemara brings up this chilek between Sinah and Farhasya. And again, for Rabbi Shmuel, you know, Avodah Zarah would seemingly be parallel to our Shar Mitzvot, right? It's an example where a particular Avera is not subject to Har Le'avor B'Tzinah, but yet it is subject to Yehar Le'avor B'Farhasya. So what's the Mechayev? It's clear from this price that the Mechayev, the differentiating factor between Farhasya and Sina, is this factor of Chil Hashem V'Sechalu as Shem Kodshi V'Nikdashti. Fine. Oh, that's riot number one. And then, now going back to, you know, the bottom of the Gemara, where the Gemara like formally introduces, you know, this notion of Yehar Le'avor for Farhasya, going to see that, you know, Agav, the Gemara's discussion here, it also, you know, cites the Pasuk of V'Nikdashti. So starting three lines up, see, Ki Asa Rabin. Yeah.
Okay. Ki Asa Rabin, Rabbi Yochanan. Afilu shelo b'shas tzeres ha-malchus, lo amru el b'tzina, that you don't have to be Yehar Le'avor, alo faresi afilu mitzvah kala, Yehari v'al-yavor. I mitzvah kala, amar rabba bar mitzvah, amar rab. Afilu shiriya yaraks in the masana.
We'll get back to that.
B'kama faresi, amar Yaakov, amar
it's appropriate that you're reading this Gemara. Yeah, kama faresi, yeah. So it's clear, right, that, you know, the reason, from where we know that the Geder of Farhesya is 10 is based on this Pasuk of Mikdashti, which again, a strong implication that that is also the Makor for this din to begin with. Just continuing on. So the Gemara Darshan says that the Geder of Farhesya again is 10 Jews. Asher's, you know, has lots to discuss about the Geder of the 10. You can ask him for some details. We're not going to be going into that, but some interesting discussion. So see Asher for some extra, you know, along this year. But for our purposes, we're just going to suffice it to say that it's clear that, right, the Gemara is deriving the Geder of Farhesya from the Pasuk of Vinikdashti. Again, strong implication that Vinikdashti, this factor of Kiddush / Chol Hashem, is really at the, you know, at the core, at the foundation of the Mechayev of Yehar Le'avor for Farhesya.
Is it possible for us to say that that's Rabbi Yishmael, that when he makes the chalak between Zeno and Farhesya, it's not go within Avodah Zarah? Only Avodah Zarah and Farhesya would be?
Theoretically, it's a possible read. I don't think anybody really understands it like that, but I think you could, remember all the Rishonim who align, I guess you could say the same thing in Rava. I would say all those Rishonim align Rava and Avodah Zarah and Dalet with this Rabbi Yishmael. I was wondering, is there a greater implication that Rava is at all Farhesya, or can that also be limited theoretically to Avodah? I guess it's also within Lo Sa'adim. Okay, that's all right. But it seems, right, either way, later on, at least the way we paskin, that right, the Har Le'avor extends to all Farhesya, and the Gemara again, you know, references Vinikdashi, again, doesn't quote it as a makor, it's really quoting it in terms of the Geder of Farhesya, but again, the implication is that it views it as the makor, and we're going to see all the Rishonim, Pe'echad, you know, interpret the Mechayev of Yehar Le'avor for Farhesya is Chil and Kiddush Hashem. So we're just going to go through some of them, a lot of these Mepharshim like we saw before, but just some added nekudos along the way. So the first one, which I realized this morning, is the Rambam. Alright, so if you look carefully at the Rambam, you saw the Torah, Dalid, does anyone have the Masechta Torah? Because we're going to be focusing on this halacha a bunch today. So it's actually interesting, because if you recall, remember the Rambam is the one who seemingly applies the factors of Chil and Kiddush Hashem, basically Bein B'Farhesia, Bein B'Tzina. So you would expect that the Rambam, again, would basically have an equation in terms of Kiddush slash Chil Hashem between Tzina and Farhesia. Again, it could be that one is greater in terms of, you know, the Rabim versus B'Yachad, but again, seemingly in terms of the Lavin and the Essen, you would think that basically the Lavin and Essen of Kiddush and Chil Hashem would apply Bein B'Tzina, Bein B'Farhesia. But if you look closely at the Rambam, and I just noticed this morning, again, I'd seen this Rambam before. Sometimes, you know, you look at the same thing, you know, and each time you can pick up, you know, new wrinkles.
I have one.
Oh, you have one. Okay. So, you want to go for it, Yehuda? At least the beginning, right? When he starts with Chol Mi Shenemar Bo Yehareg LaYavor. He has a couple lines in. Yeah.
Chol Mi Shenemar Bo Yehareg LaYehareg LaYavor Harei Zev Stai Benafsho. Chol Mi Shenemar Bo Yehareg LaYavor Yehareg LaYavor Harei Zev Kiddush Es Hashem. Right, so if he does the wrong thing, he's Chayav Misa. If he does the right thing, then it's a Kiddush Hashem. V'im Hayba Asar Miyisrael Harei Zev Kiddush Es Hashem Rabin. A lot of people, 10 people, then it's Barabim, to Daniel Hanani Mishal Bazar, Bahule, Akiva, the Chabeira. The Eluheim, Haruge Malchus, Shein, Maila Malas. This is a wonderful thing. Aleim, Nemar, Ki, Alecha, Haragnu, Kolayom, Nakshadnu, Katon, Tikha, Aleim, Nemar, Osfuli, Chaside, Korti, Brisi, Alai, Zaba.
Okay, basically it's very good when someone's the Kaddish Shem Shemayim. Very good. Okay, so now we want to get to the next part. The next thing is V'chol Mi Shenemar.
V'chol Mi Shenemar Bo Yehareg LaYavor Bo Avar Velo of Narag Harei Zeh Mechalas Hashem.
Oh, alright, so it's very important. Right, so this is, you'll see in the contrast to the next, this is the Yehareg LaYavor B'Tzina. So again, the Rambam, his formulation is that you are Mechalal Es Hashem. Again, if you're not Yehareg LaYavor, in the case of, let's say, presumably the big three, you're Mechal Es Hashem. So again, if you start here, you would assume that he's basically saying, therefore, you're over the essay of, you know, Kiddush Hashem, and you're over the love of Chil Hashem. But it's very interesting, the contrast. Here, he says, Harizeh Mechal Es Hashem. But the next case of Rabim, he seems to have a much stronger formulation.
Yeah?
Oh. So it's a very important contrast. I guess we'll get to the rest of the Rambam soon. But it's very important that it seems from the Rambam that he's limiting the formal violations of the, let's say, the lab of Lo Sechalu and the Asay of Nikdashti to a case of Yehareg LaYavor B'Farhesia. Masha Enkin, the Yehareg LaYavor B'Tzina, even though there is a factor of Mechal Es Hashem, it seems like that doesn't trigger a violation of, you know, the formal lav of Lo Sechalu and the formal assay of Vinigdashi, which is very important that even the Rambam, who seems to apply Chil and Kiddush Hashem, both Bein B'Tzina, Bein B'Farhesia, even so, the Rambam seems to have a strong emphasis that basically there's a qualitative difference in the level of Chil Hashem between B'Tzina and B'Farhesia. Not just, oh, quantitatively, oh, it's greater, it's just B'Rabim, but that, you know, call that quantitative difference, really results in a qualitative difference that the only time you actually violate the formal essay of Nikdashi, the formal lav of Lo Sechalu, is only for the one B'Farhesia, which is, I think, is an important nekuda within the Rambam. Actually, I think Asher puts out to me that the Lecha Mishnah similarly is medayik in this, you know, the contrast of the Rambam. Again, where he only starts invoking, you know, the essen and the lav and the lav in the case of the Rabbim. But again, the Lecha Mishnah reads it a little differently, because he basically says, oh, but since the Rambam says Harei Zeh Mechal Es Hashem the first time, even B'Tzina, so he thinks that in terms of the lav of Lo Sechalu, that applies Bein B'Tzina, Bein B'Farhesia. And the contrast is only coming to say that the essay of the Nikdashti, that is limited to Farhesia. And again, he explains, it's actually...
No, but if you explain that way, you have to say that you'll need to be a Yehareg LaYavor even B'Tzina.
You know, of course, everyone agrees that the Rambam is Mechayev Yehareg LaYavor B'Tzina. Only question is, you know, if you don't do it, what did you violate? Did you violate, like this notion, according to what I'm saying, it was like this notion of Chil Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem, but you never violated the actual lavin, the lav of Lo Sechalu, and the actual essay of Mikdashti. According to the way the Lecha Mishnah is understanding is that even Bitsina, you violate the formal lav of Lo Sechalu, and it's just the only difference between Tzina and Farhesia is that only before Hesia, the only time you violate the essay of Mikdashti is before Hesia. And he points out, I mean, the drasha of 10 comes from, you look very closely, is only for Mikdashti. So he says, oh, that's, you know, that supports his read. The only time, the only thing that's limited to Rabbim, the only thing that's limited to 10, is the essay of Nikdashti, because that's where you have the Zereshava of Toch Toch, but he thinks the Lav of Losechalu applies in both cases. I'm just pointing out that the Lush and the Rabbim seems to be a contrast on both. It seems that even the formal Lav of Losechalu is limited to Rabbim, and I'll say Bitsina is this value of Chil Hashem, but again, not to the extent you actually violate, you know, even the love, and for sure not the essay. Fine. So now, just to quickly go through other, you know, Rishonim who clearly, you know, explicate that mechayev of Yehar Vayavar before Hesia is Chil Hashem. So again, this is Rishonim we saw in the past. Just do it quickly. Again, the Rivam, right, on the Ayin Dalet on Beis, which we always, you know, reference to, and the Rivam is bimechalik between, you know, the Gimel Averos Chamurus, specifically Arayos, with the Yehar Vayavar of Farhesia, right? He explicitly, you know, formulates that the Mechayev of Farhesia is Chil Hashem. He says, Aval Inyan Chil Hashem Mishum Farhesia, right? Losa Daikdach, the Mahani Taimim Karko Olam. Again, not our topic for now. But at the end of the day, it's clear, again, right, that the Rivam, right, explicates that the Mechayev of Farhesia is this factor of Chil Hashem. Oh. And similarly, the Mechames that we've seen, right, the Mechames is discussing, you know, the Heter of Hanas Atzmo, and again, when he's been Mechalik between the Gimel Averos Chamuros and Shmad / Farhesia, he's explicit that while the Mechayev of Averos Chamuros is Chumrus HaIzer, the Mechayev of both Farhesia and Shmad, which we'll get back to later, is Vinikdashti. So again, another, you know, explication to be shown on that the Mechayev for Farhesia is Chil Hashem. And similarly, you know, the Yireim in Mitzvah, right, Tuf Gimel, again, in the context of the mitzvah of Lo Sechalu of Chil Hashem, again discusses the Yehar Vayavar for Farhesia and Shmad, again implying that both of them are midin Chil Hashem. And the last one is, as we saw, also Rabbeinu David, right, in the context of Avar v'lo Nerag, exactly whether you are Chai Misa B'Dieved, a topic which we're going to get to right now. Again, the Rabbeinu David there explicitly is mechalik between Averos Chamuros, which is Mishum Chumrasa Iser, and Farhesia, which is, and Shmad, which are Midin V'Nikdashti, Midin Chil Hashem. So again, all these are shown, again, coming from the Gemara, where, again, they're all learning that the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavar for Farhesia is Midin Chil Hashem. Again, the reason why you need to come onto the Rishonim, we don't just say, oh, it's the Gemara, is because, pointed out before, and one raya from the Gemara is Rabbi Shmuel, so you never know whether that carries over. And, you know, when we're talking about the normative Shita, again, it only quotes Nikdash in the context of the Gether of Farhesia. So again, neither of them are explicit that the Makor is Yehar Vayavar, the Makor of Yehar Vayavar for Farhesia. But it's clear from all these Rishonim that they're understanding that really what's going on in the Gemara is that the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavar for Farhesia is Midin Chil Hashem. Yeah.
So why isn't the second source the one on the top of this page?
Meaning, I would say it's 95% Araya. At the end of the day, he's just explaining that the Gedder of Farhesia is 10. And that's what they quote in the Mishnah. Again, I think the strong implication that that's also going to Mechayev at hand. But it's not, I mean, I'm only pointing out that the context of the Gemara quoting Mikdashli is not to say, oh, the reason why you heard Vayavar is because Mikdashli, it's that, oh, you know, once.
Unlike Rabbi Yishmael, they don't actually make the drasha when they put it up.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. Again, implication, again, if you're using that to be Magdir with Farhesia, is implication that's also Mechayev, but again, that's not a Raya Gemara, and then the only time it quotes it as the Mechayev is with Rabbi Shmuel, and we know Rabbi Shmuel has a different, you know, approach to the whole Sugya. So one point, yeah, that's where we look at all these Rishonim, where, again, all Rishonim seem to understand these two Gemaras as hinting to the fact that the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavar for Farhesia is Chil Hashem. So now, again, the last thing I want to discuss within the Farhesia discussion topic is the issue of basically Bidyeved, right, im Avar Lonera, right? And the question is going to be whether you are, you know, say, Chayiv Misa Bidyeved, and basically what would be the basis if you're going to be potter, which we'll see, it seems like everyone agrees to, what is the basis of the patur? At the end of the day, you were supposed to be hired by Yavor. What happens if you went ahead and violated, you know, one of the Shar Mitzvahs, Devarasya? Are you going to be Chayav and Onish for what you did? Oh. So Pashtus, and this is the way that Rabbeinu David seems to set up the sugya, is that the reason why there's no Onish in the context of Farhesya is because of the Chayav. Right? Because if you understand that the lone Mechayiv of Yahar Layavor for Farhesya is Chil Hashem, so we pointed out, the implication is that V'chaybehem neutralizes the Avera itself. So therefore, you're not going to get an Onish for the Avera itself because the Avera itself has been neutralized by V'chaybehem, and it's only a side Mechayiv of Chil Hashem. So again, the Pashat, I think the Pashas is the way Rabbeinu David sets it up, is that the reason why there's no Onish, but the Eved in the context of Farhesya, is because V'chaybehem comes along and you know, creates a patur, and therefore, according to this approach, you don't need to come onto Onis because you already have a Chayibahem, which neutralizes, you know, the Avera at hand. But in line of that analysis, it's interesting to know, and this was pointed out to me by Adam over here, Schwartz Messing, that if you look closely at the Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah, Hey Dalet, or the end of the Rambam that we were reading before, it seems from a number of places there that the Rambam seems to invoke the patur Onis even in the context of Shar Mitzvos. And the question is going to be, why? If the Rambam agrees that the lone mechayev of, you know, Yahar Layabar for Farhesya is Chil Hashem, and presumably Bechayev Behem neutralized the Avera itself, so why does it need to come on to the factor of Ptur Onis in order to justify, you know, the lack of Onish? So first let's point out the Yukim in the Rambam, Yisodei HaTorah, Hey Dalet. Yuda, you want to finish up the...
Okay, so...
So this is right after what we read last time, when he says, oh, when you're supposed to be Yahar Vayavar and you're not, Mechal Hashem, if you're supposed to be, right, Yahar Vayavar Berabim, then you're, you know, over the essay and the Lav. So right after that, he says, Va'af al-Pikin, right, even though you're over Chil Hashem in all these cases...
Va'af al-Pikin, Yifnesha, Avar Ba'onis, in Malkan Osob, in Zarach Lomash, in a reason Osob, in Eistem,
it's very, very important. He doesn't just say in mamisinoso. He also says it in malkinoso. The point that last time that we pointed to this Rambam, again, we basically said this Rambam is one of the proofs that in the context of the Averos Chamuros, that beyond the Mechayev of Chil Hashem, there is also Mechayev of Chamur Seisr. And one of the rayas to that is the fact that the Rambam had come on to the Ptur Ones to justify the lack of chiyamisa b'di'evet. We pointed out, if the Rambam was, you know, just within the Chil Hashem approach, and he thought the Chai Behem neutralized even the Averos Chamuros, so then again, just like this analysis, why would he need to come on to Ptur Onis to justify the lack of chiyamisa by the Averos Chamuros? Just say that because the only Mechayev is Chil Hashem, you don't need Ptur Onis for the Averos themselves. The Averos themselves have been neutralized by the Chai Behem. But what Aaron pointed out to me is that not only does he mention, does he apply the Ptur Onis to the Chiyav Misa associated with the big three, he also mentions it in Malkin also. Which again, we'll suggest a couple of answers. Which again, a Malkin also, at first glance, seems to again not be talking about the big three, but seems to be talking about the Shar Mitzvos. I'm going to leave that vague at the moment. Number one indication the Rambam is applying the Ptur Onis beyond the Averos Chamuros also to Shar Mitzvos. And then going on later, just, you know, continuing on. Right, Sha'in Malkin Umamisen.
Yes, Sha'in Malkin Umamisen. El Oviber Tzon of Eidu Rashma. Shanamar, the Nose Nizar of the Molach, the Nazati Ami, and Panay Be'ishahu. The Piashmo Lamdu, Hahu, Lo Onos, Lo Shogeg, the Lo Mota.
Oh, so again, right, he's saying not only do you seemingly need and have the Ptur Onis for Avodah Zarah, you also have it for Shar Mitzvos. Again, a second implication that you need the Ptur Onis not only for the big three, such as Avodah Zarah and like the Arayas is going to discuss next, but also for Shar Mitzvos.
It's a Kavahomer for Avodah Zarah, so it's the Arayas.
No, but he says Kabakom the Shar Mitzvah Zamoras Bitorah. Who the Arayos who Omer Lenar Los Asa Davar?
When you address the Raya separately, I
separately, yeah. So it sounds like that line of L'shar mitzvah zamuras b'torah sounds like it's L'chol mitzvah shebetorah.
And daf ben arayos.
Yeah. So it seems like, again, the Rambam here is applying, here's my idea. Again, in line with Aaron's Zidik Me'i Malkinah, so it seems like the Rambam is applying the p'torah ones beyond the big three to even shar mitzvahs. And the question is, what's going on? Why do you need the p'torah ones in regards to shar mitzvahs? So we're going to basically present three different approaches here, one which is my suggestion, one which is Yehuda's, and one which is Aaron's. So the first suggestion is that, right, and the kasha again is, why do you need the p'tur onis? It comes to Chilul Hashem. It's clear, since when it comes to Farhesia, it's clear that the Mechayev of Farhesia is Chilul Hashem, and the Mechayev Behem completely neutralized the Avera itself. So that's the question. So the first approach to this Rambam is that perhaps the Shar Mitzvahs here is not referring to Farhesia. Because if you recall, the Rambam here is discussing, right, all Yehari Bayavars, and again, in his Halacha Dalet, in Halacha Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, he discussed the Yehari Bayavar by the Averos Chamuros, Farhesia, and the third one, which is Shmat. As we'll see at the end of this year, it's very possible that while everyone agrees that the Mechayev for Farhesia is Chol Hashem, Shmat, it's not so pashut. And it could be that Shmat actually has a component of Chumras HaIsser. So one way of interpreting the Rambam is that when the basically, in what context does he need to come on to the p'tur ones for shar mitzvos? Maybe not for shar mitzvos before Hesra, because there v'chaybem is in full force, and therefore the only factor is chol Hashem. But perhaps he needs it in the context of shar mitzvos b'shas hashmad, where perhaps v'chaybem is neutralized, again, and therefore the avera at hand is applicable, and therefore b'di'evad you'd have a havamina that you'd be chayev onshin, if not for the p'tur ones. So again, suggestion number one is that the only time the Rambam needs the p'tur ones for shar mitzvos is specifically for shas hashmad, and according to this first approach, right, the for farhesia, it's clearly, you know, the avera itself is neutralized by the chayim, and you wouldn't need to come on to the factor of ones. The second approach is to say, no, really the Rambam here is referring to farhesia. Again, that even in the context of farhesia, you need to come on to the p'tur ones to might justify a p'tur malchus. So again, why would you need that? What do you mean? What about v'chai behem? Doesn't v'chai behem neutralize the avera at hand? So one answer, suggested by Yehuda, is that perhaps the havamin of chil malchus is not for the avera at hand. In the chanami, the avera at hand has been neutralized by v'chai behem. But perhaps there's a havamin that you would need a p'tur ones for lo sechalel. And perhaps you need the p'tur ones to be potir, the person from Malkus, for having violated the lav of Chil Hashem. Oh. Again, according to this approach, the reference to Shar Mitzvos later, again, there are two ways to understand it. Either you're going to understand, you know, the reference to Shar Mitzvos as basically referring to, you know, Ones b'chol Torah kula, outside the context of Yehari Bayavar. Again, it's not so clear from the Rambam at the end there, right? He's talking about, you know, the Mekoros. For the p'tur ones, it's not clear whether he's still working within the context of Yehari Bayavar. So it's possible that in the Chanami, the only time you need that ones will apply to Shar Mitzvos is, again, only outside the context of Yehari Bayavar, outside the context of the Chai Ben. But it's possible to interpret the Rambam like that. Or do you interpret that, no, the Shar Mitzvos is referring to the context of Yehari Bayavor, but it's referring to the Chil Hashem, which is associated with each mitzvah. So again, when you're applying it to each mitzvah, not to each mitzvah itself, but rather to the Chil Hashem associated with each mitzvah. Again, the main point here is that the Havamina of Malkus in the context of Farhesia is not for the Avera itself, which has been neutralized by the Chai Behem, but rather is needed for the violation of Chil Hashem, or the Lav of Lo Sechalu. That's whole suggestion 2a. Suggestion 2b, which is Aaron's suggestion, is that, again, we're talking about Farhesia, but undermining the assumption we've been making up until now. Up until now, we've been assuming that if the Mechayev of Farhesia is Chil Hashem, so then the Chaybem should completely neutralize the Aver at hand. And therefore, we were asking, once it's completely neutralized, why would you need to come on to a Petur Ones? But, says Aaron, you can possibly suggest, as we discussed last time, that maybe v'chayim behem only works b'toras t'chuya. Up until now, we've been assuming that basically v'chayim behem is working b'toras t'chuya. So therefore, there's no avera here. But if you think that v'chayim behem really works b'toras t'chuya, then you're saying that even when v'chayim behem applies, the avera is still at play. It's just a heter agavra of v'chayim behem. But b'makom farhesya, where you have the chi of yaharim layavur mishum kiddush Hashem, mishum chilul Hashem. So that undermines the heter agavra and says you no longer have the heter agavra provided by the chayim behem because you have a chiyuv of yaharim layavur midin chilul Hashem. But at the end of the day, since the chayim behem never neutralized the avera at hand, and even the heter agavra generated by the chayim behem has been undermined by the chiyuv of yaharim layavur coming from the mitzvah of chilul Hashem. So therefore, at the end of the day, when you go ahead and violate it, you still basically violated the Avera, which was, you know, very much Chai V'Kayim, very much applicable in the case. And therefore, the only reason why you're Pater from the Onish is because of this outside factor of Onis. So again, three Pshatim in terms of why the Rambam needs to apply the Pater Onis to Shar Mitzvos, either because Shmad, assuming that Shmad has a Chumrasa Isser, or Mishim Farhesya, but because of the Chil Hashem Shabbo. Or maybe even in the context of Parhesia, you need it for the Aveir at hand because V'chayim behem only works B'toras D'chuya and the Heter Agavra has been undermined by the Chilul Hashem. Yeah. Sorry for pushing you off. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say one.
But I figured you were going to say one of them. Yeah.
So, what about the general evidence around them in terms of V'chayim behem and D'chuya? Does that fit? I mean, I know like there's a big discussion around this about Shabbos, but, you know, should the
Yuhal Shabbos
to save the
Gavina. So that works out with Aaron's point.
Well, that sounds more like a
Aaron is saying, the third answer is saying that V'chai Behem, Kolach Nefesh, only works B'Torah's Duchiyah.
Okay.
I vaguely recall
evidence in
Yuhal
Shabbos that Ramach was saying the
Hutra. Oh, Hutra, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you said
Duchiyah. Meaning like the Ram says, you know, don't get a goy to Yuhal Shabbos for a goy, you know, have the Rav do it, you know.
So people don't get the impression.
Some people say, oh, maybe that's pragmatic, right?
Yeah, I think there's a discussion with Rambam, right. So it's a good point. Basically, the point out is that, you know, Nafka Mina, you know, a distinction between these two, three different approaches, that whether you hold that Pikuach Nefesh, slash B'chai Behem, in general for the Rambam, is Hutra or Dechuya. So again, that I think that's an issue within the Rambam generally. So again, that would be an important, you know, issue for deciding, you know, what is the best shot here. Again, the third suggestion of Aaron would assume that V'chayim behem works with Dechuya, and therefore would have to, you know, assume that in the Rambam in total. And the first two approaches says, no, basically assume that V'chayim behem can even work Hutra, the Torah Hutra, and yet you can explain it. So again, that's a good point. That issue in the Rambam globally, whether what the nature of V'chayim behem for the Rambam, again, would, you know, have an impact on the particular pshat here as well. Very good Aaron. Ah. Adkan, the Yahar Vayavur for Farhesya. Now moving on to the Yahar Vayavur for Shas Hashma. So let's just first, you know, read the Gemara inside. Again, right before, is it Kiyasa Redimi? Want to go for it? Four lines up from the bottom. Yeah.
Kiyasa Redimi Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu ala shalo b'shas k'teres ha-malchus. Abo b'shas k'teres ha-malchus afilu mitzvah kala Yahar Vayavur.
Sorry, it's clear. The reveal open again. No one seems to argue with this, at least in this Gemara, that there is a chiyuv yahar layavur b'shas hashmad even for shar mitzvos. And the question that is discussed in the mefarshim is basically what is the nature of this mechayev. Again, we're going to see the same, you know, similar dialectic that we were discussing by chumras by the gimel averos chumras. Again, applied a little differently. But basically, whether it's midin chil Hashem, or is this a unique form of Chumras Ha'isr? And then in tomorrow's year, we're going to discuss there are a bunch of nafkamina, you know, in terms of, you know, the scope of Yahar Vayavur for Shas Hashmana, which would be impacted by this, you know, very, you know, fundamental question of what exactly is the nature of the Mechayev for Yahar Vayavur. So let's in the last 15 minutes we have, go through, you know, the Rishonim in terms of what exactly is the Mechayev of Yahar Vayavur for Shas Hashmana. And then tomorrow we're going to discuss, you know, all potential impacted issues, potential nafkamina from this approach. I feel like I didn't use that term as much this year. Yeah, because of the fine. So the first approach in I notice you're laughing. The first approach in Shas Hashmad is that the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavur for Shas Hashman is Chil Hashem. And this seems to be the normative approach, is that basically the idea is that basically every violation, even of a mitzvah kala, has a Chil Hashem component. Because there's a war on Judaism, to give into anything is basically a Chil Hashem, b'machal Hashem Shemayim. And again, even the way the Gemara, with the back-to-back memos of Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan, between Shas Hashmad and Farhesia, again, the simple interpretation is that, you know, they have one nature. Again, they're one nature, and since we know that Farhesia is Midin Chil Hashem, it would work out well for, you know, Shas Hashmad to also be Chil Hashem. Again, these are two versions of Chil Hashem. One is Farhesia, and one is Shas Hashmad. So let's go through a number of Rishonim who seem to take this approach, that right again, the Machayev of Shmad is Chil Hashem. We're going to see, if you look carefully, there are going to be two versions of Chil Hashem within Shmad. Be on the lookout for that. And again, we'll say it right now. The two versions are: is it that it's a Chil Hashem, we'll call it a Chil Hashem of Bitsina, that even though the case of Shmad is actually Bitsina, there's still a Chil Hashem Bina. Mashal Ma Davar Domer, where we had, according to those approaches, think that Averas Chamuros Bitsina or Medina Chil Hashem. Again, we have a parallel notion that you can even have, you know, the factor of Chil Hashem applying Bitsina. The other approach we're going to see is that certain Rishonim say no. Chil Hashem only applies to Farhesia. So if you're going to understand the Shas Hashmad as being Medin Chil Hashem, they're going to interpret it as that, oh, because it's going to get out. Even though the violation right now is only between, let's say, the Anos and a person, there's no 10 people, you know, Chaver, Chaver, Islay, we'll see these Lashonos where it's going to get out and become a Chil Hashem. So we're going to see, if you look very closely at the Mefarshim, the two strands of understanding this Chil Hashem. Is it a Chil Hashem b'tzina, or is it a Chil Hashem b'farhesia? And we're going to see that perhaps it will be l'shitaso, certain Rishonim, you know, whether they think that there is a notion of Chil Hashem b'tzina, i.e. one case to look is the Averas Chamuros, which will impact how they learn the type of Chil Hashem here by Shmad as well. So starting off with the Shiltos. The Shiltos seems to be the first Naraya to this Chil Hashem approach, and he seems to explicate this quite clearly. Right, the Shiltos in Mem Beis, as you saw on the sheet, he says as follows: Aval b'shas hashmad yehar v'yavur my taima. Why? Again, this is not found in the Gemara. He says, what's the reason for the yehar v'yavur for shmad? Kivon digera lemiakra lemilsa, because the gzera of shmad is to be ma'akir the whole religion. Have a kiddush Hashem. It's a kiddush Hashem. Ukrinam bei vosichalu eshem kachi. Quite clear. The Shiltos is taking the Chil Hashem approach to Shmad. So then, the second group of Rishonim is ones we've seen in the past. Basically, the Yireim, Machamos, and the Rabbeinu David, all we've seen in the past, who all again group Farhesia and Shas Hashmad together in their context. Again, the Yireim are in the context of the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Again, we referenced this before, again, groups both the Yehar V'yavur for Shmad and for Harsia together, again, within the mitzvah of Chil Hashem, again, implying that the Mechayev is Kiddush Hashem. Then you have the Mechames in the context of, again, Hanas Atzma, where he basically says that Hanas Atzma is limited to both Shmad and for Harsia, which are Midin V'Nikdashti. Again, Mechames is explicit by both Farhesia and Mikdashti, and Rabbeinu David in the context of Avar V'lo Nerag, again, when he's contrasting the Averos Chamuros with both Shmad and Farhesia, he formulates, he explicates that the Mechayev of both Farhesia and Shmad is Vinikdashti. Now just two more Rishonim who say this. One more is the Ritzvah in Psachim, by Chafei Amud Aleph, Dir Maschel Chain Ein Hefresh. So again, the Ritva here again explicates that the Mechayev of Yehar V'yavur for Shmad is Vinikdashti. And read it as follows. He says, Shasa Shmad, Da'afilu Bitsina, Va'afilu Araksa Dimazana, Yehar V'yavur, Kevin Shemiskavnin Mahavir, because they're right, Mechavin to, for you specifically to be over, V'zeu Mishon Vinikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. So again, the Ritva is on this list of many Rishonim that the Mechayev for Shmad is Chil Hashem. And the last Rishon on this list, and it's very important to pay attention to this formulation, is the Chidushei Haran. Right, the Chidushei Haran, and there are a couple important diukim that we should, you know, point out here within the Chidushei Haran. So the Chidushei Haran here is an Ayin Dalad Amud Aleph. Again, Dira Maschal Aval Bishas Hagzera. Anybody have a Chidushei Haran here? It's important to, I want someone to read it. I have it. Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. It's more forceful when someone else reads it. You see where he starts with Im Shama Lahem? Is it Dimas Babal Bashas like Zera? Do you see within you see of all Im the Im Shama Lahem?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Okay.
Two important to you. Number one, right, the way the Chiddush HaEran justifies the again, number one, it's clearly he says Zeh Kiddush Hashem, right? He clearly says it's Kiddush Hashem here, it's Chilul Hashem. But the way he seems to justify Chilul Hashem here, even though it's Tzina, is because even though it's Bechadrei Chadarim, Hadavrim is Parsim. It's going to get out. It's going to get out and be a Chilul Hashem Berabim. Why is it going to get out? Right, Mimnesha, Matzah, Shoh, Ilah, B'Gzeirasim, they're basically going to be all, you know, full of pride. The fact that, you know, their Shemad is working, they're going to start spreading the news. Look, you know, the Jews are giving
it.
What?
It's working.
It's working, exactly. So it's important that the Chiddush HaEran specifically is one who is not willing to apply Chilul Hashem Bitzina. So I thought perhaps this is the Ran Lashitasa. Remember, the Ran basically accepts the Ramban's approach to the Machayev of the Averis Chamurus to say that it's Midin Chumrus HaIsser. Right? This is what we discussed now. Israel context, the Ran says this in a number of cases. And for the Ran specifically, could be of the opinion that Chilul Hashem is always limited to Farhesia. There is no notion of Chilul Hashem which is not in the context of Farhesia. And therefore, if the Averis Chamurus apply Bitzina,
just the opposite of the Ran.
Exactly. And therefore he has to explain that the Averis Chamurus are Midin Chumrus HaIsser. And therefore he's bothered. On the one hand, he thinks that Shmad, perhaps based on the grouping of the Gemara, perhaps based on other factors, he thinks that Shmad is based on Chilul Hashem. But he's also bothered because he thinks that Chilul Hashem is limited to Farhesia. So how do you have a Shmad be Midin Chilul Hashem if Shmad even applies to Tzina? So perhaps the Ram therefore says that the reason why Shmad results in Chilul Hashem is because it's going to get out. And therefore even the Shmad, which seems to be Bitzina, will end up being a Chilul Hashem Bit Farhesia. Perhaps that's the Ran Lashitaso to his, you know, approach to Laviros Chamuros. Ah. But it's interesting, right, in light of the Ran's approach to, right, the Chilul Hashem as being a Chilul Hashem, that even the Chilul Hashem of Shmad is a Chilul Hashem before Hesia, it's important to know that the Netziv, again, learns the Shiltos in the same way. And if you look very carefully, when the Netziv basically is commenting on the Shiltos, right, the Shiltos clearly said there's Kiddush Hashem here. But wait, if you ask me, you can interpret the Shiltos as saying there's Kiddush Hashem, even Bitzino. But the Netziv doesn't seem to like that idea, and specifically interprets the Shiltos as holding that even here, even the Shmad Bitzino is really a Chilul Hashem, is really a Kiddush Hashem, Bi Farhesia. And he says as follows, I read the Lashem of the Netziv. Right, the Netziv, again, commenting on the Shiltos' Chilul Hashem, says as follows, Dishas Hashmad, de lo olam hayu Kiddush Hashem berabim. It's always going to be a Kiddush Hashem. Again, if you don't give in, Berabim. Why? The Yesh Lahazbir, Mishim the Anasim Shchichi, because once the Shas Hashmad, you know, this event is gonna be recurring, it's gonna take place a lot. That Oz Bechavra Bechavra Isle, everyone has a friend, it's going to get out. And therefore, Bahakol Yishmu Sheploni Masr Nafshe Alavera. So everyone's going to understand, again, in the positive context, that this person was Moser Nefesh. To make it a Kiddush Hashem Barab. So again, the Netziv, like the Chiddush HaEran, are taking this Chilul Hashem approach, but in contrast to, I'll say, the basic understanding of the Rishonim, that no, even Bitzina, there's a form of Chilul Hashem, just like we saw by the, you know, the Averis Chamurus, where there's this notion of Chilul Hashem, even Bitzina. They're saying, no, they disagree, they don't think that there's this notion of Chilul Hashem, / Kiddush Hashem, Bitzina, and therefore they have to interpret the Shman Chilul and Kiddush Hashem as being one Barabim, because it's going to get out. Yeah.
The Tzim also interprets Shiltos as saying that, so he says, I would have thought that Rabba or Rabba is only saying it in terms of Shiltos Shema, but how do we know for Hesed? According to this, Shiltos Shema is for Hesed. That's why I write Bahava means that it only applies Shiltos Shema, not for Hesed.
You mean the Heter of Hanos Atzma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, We'll get back to that. That's going to be we'll leave that for the Hanos Atzmos section. Yeah. This is your point. Yeah, obviously, you know, whether you apply the Heter of Hanos Atzmos to Shas Hashman is going to obviously depend on whether it's Medin Chil Hashem or not. But we'll get back to that. Yeah?
Okay. As a result, you mentioned the positive thing. So
yeah.
I mean, that could, you know, the importance of that something that Nechaskino, because that wasn't the Nen asked to call it Sarah. Right, he said it depends whether you need a Sarah for the Kiddush Hashem or the Chilul Hashem.
Interesting.
The Ran is saying you need the Chilul, saying, right,
yeah, interesting.
And also, it's strange that the Ran seems to be saying that Chilul is really among the Goyim. That the problem is that the Pearson will be among the Goyim, that they will know Shehu'il and Zeyrus.
That's also interesting.
Right, unless he's just saying, no, it's they're going to be parsing it because of that, and therefore the Jews are also going
to
know.
Yeah, that's the way I interpreted it, but it's an interesting, you know, point to raise, 100%. Right.
And then also just, it's interesting that he has this whole long Hakdama before he gets that line from Hakdama, where he seems to talk about some sort of inherent, more inherent issue of Shas HaShemayim, when you think of Chizik Kenegdam and all that.
Well, Chizik Kenegdam, I think, is ambiguous.
Is classic Kiddush Hashem?
Yeah, I mean, that could just be Chizik Kenegdam to stop them from what? Again, you know, fill in the blank.
Like, could take an approach where it's like that's not, that whole part of the Ran is not really necessary, right? Okay, because Shas Hashemayim, therefore it will be in the Star Same, we tap into the general rule of Pearson. But we need this whole fancy dump. So I mean, I was thinking there should be some malus of Shas Hashemayim.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe the fact that here he's saying Chayyim Kishon Aram Hadar Mispar Same, that the Asara doesn't need to be Bifnei, right? Whereas he said later, Yachad Acham Yisrael. Imhu b'farhesia b'fnei asara b'Yisrael. So he actually used losh b'fnei. Right here, you can debug this. Maybe that's an all use of
Hashem. Interesting. Very good. Ah. So one last diuk in the Ran before we discuss the Chumras HaVera approach to Shmad. If you look very carefully, he says, v'zehu kiddush Hashem. And what are the next words?
V'atasamah.
Ah. So it's interesting that the Ran here, after quoting Chil Hashem, seems to invoke Avas Hashem. So I thought perhaps this is the Ran Lashitaso again. Now, if you remember, we discussed this yesterday in Abizrayu, that the Ran and Ayin Hey, according to the Ramban, basically in the context of Averos Chamuros, thinks that all Averos Chamuros are Nichlal under the category of Avas Hashem. And the way we developed at the time is that the idea is that once you have a Makor to take something out of the category of Chai Behem, the Ran thinks in the Mela goes back to the general category of Avas Hashem. So it could be that the Ran, Lashitaso, thinks that's also at play when it comes to Chil Hashem. That once, let's say, the fact of Chil Hashem, right, takes, let's say, the Shmad case out of the category of Chai Behem, so it doesn't just stop at being Chil Hashem, it also enters into the category of Avas Hashem. So again, Ran, Lashitaso, thinks throughout the Sugya, whenever you have a factor which takes, you know, a certain mitzvah, a certain context, out of the klal of a Chai Behem, and the Mela goes into the klal of Avas Hashem. So again, there's another indication of the Ran, of where he basically holds of this Avas Hashem idea, which is important for, you know earlier issues of Abizrayu, etc. Oh, so in the last, you know, 3 minutes that we have, I just want to quickly, you know, go through the Chumrasa Isser approach to Shmad. So again, the first approach we've been developing is that the context of Shmad dictates that a violation of the Isser is basically generates a larger Chil Hashem, and therefore that Chil Hashem is what triggers the Chiyuv Har Liyav. We're going to see that it's alternatively possible to say that the context of Shmad basically grants more Chomer to the Avera itself. And therefore, in the context of Shmad, the Avera, which, right, in another context, is just one of the Shar Averas, which doesn't have enough Chomer to Mechayev Yehar Vayavar, but specifically in the context of Shmad, the context of persecution basically invigorates the Chomer Sa'isr of even one of the Shar Mitzvos to basically be able to be Mechayev Yehar Vayavar Midin Chomer Sa'isr. So there are two ways that this said in the Rishonim. The first one is coming from Rashi. Right, in the Rashi, in the bottom Rashi, in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the way he formulates Shmad, again, is not Midin Chil Hashem, but basically something else. Someone else want to read for us? I share you on a roll. This is in the bottom, so you want to do it quickly.
Okay.
Meaning what?
It sounds to me like some sort of totally separate, pragmatic, you know, concern.
Basically, one way, or one way to say it. That's one way to say it. It's like, Torah is like, you know, a slippery slope. You know, Torah matzah heila. But one way of interpreting this, the way I'm suggesting it, is what?
Mitzrayim.
No, is that basically, meaning, in the context of Shemad, even though what seems to only be at stake is this one Aveiro, really, because of this factor of Shalei Argilu, is really all Tayak. And therefore, the Chomer of the single Aveira at hand really takes on a much larger Chomer, because the violation of this Aveira will end up undermining Kol Torah Kulo. Because basically, you know, allowing, you know, giving in, which will then allow, basically encourage, create a momentum whereby the, you know, the Goyim force, you know, the violation of other Averos, so perhaps that contributes to the Chomer of the Avera at hand to trigger some form of Chumras Ha'isr. So that'd be one version. I'm just going to finish up because we have to finish up soon. This is one version, I would say, of the Chumras Ha'isr, is that basically because it's not just this single mitzvah at stake, but you're looking at this mitzvah in context of really of all Taryag, so it's like, in a sense, like parallel, you know, we said before that, you know, when you of the Ritzvah and the Radvaz, that when you're kofer in a certain mitzvah as, you know, a kfir of all Taryag, again, coming from, in that context, said, oh, therefore it's, you know, has a certain level of Chomer, a certain level of rebellion against Yadus. So to hear from a different angle, that since what's at stake, again, is not just this one mitzvah, but perhaps the undermining of all mitzvah, so perhaps the Chomer of the Aver at stake takes on greater stature. Oh, just last thing, the other version of the Chumras Ha'isr is the Netziv. Right, the Netziv explicates, right, this is Ha'mek Shela Mem Beis Ches. Right, his last day of there the Netziv basically says that the context of Shmad dictates that giving in to any mitzvah is basically Domet La'avodah Zarah. Basically, the context of Shmad basically puts basically Yadus at stake with every single mitzvah. And therefore, even giving in to one mitzvah is considered basically a rejection of all of Yadus, which is paramount to Avodah Zarah. So again, the Netziv seems to explicate this idea that for Malkus Shmad, every mitzvah is Domei La'Avodah Zarah, which again seems to align with this Chumras Ha'Isr / Avos Hashem approach. Then again, it's not just a pure Chil Hashem, but it's even Chumras Ha'Isr. I guess we'll stop here and I can answer questions.